Thou Me. I'm not planning on singing tonight, that's all right, but why don't you call your neighbor you're normally sitting next to and ask him what the score is? You know what? Don't let a small crowd disappoint you, okay? We realize that life is busy. We realize that people have a lot of things going on in their lives. But you know what? We got some things going on in our life too. And we're here tonight on New Year's Eve to read from God's Word, which I'm going to do in just a minute. Let me ask you a simple question. How many of you have or are planning on making a New Year's resolution? Can I see your hand? The rest of you are sure to make it. Now, how many of you really are planning on making any kind of a New Year's resolution whatsoever? Let me see your hand. So you're perfect just like you are. All right, well, let me just tell you. According to statistics, only 2% of the people each year that make a resolution are successful. 80% of people that make a resolution, New Year's resolution, fail in their attempts within the first 30 days. Good intentions are just that. Good intentions. Darla, quit saying amen there and poking Doc on that. But good intentions are not enough. When I was coaching football, I studied a lot of Vince Lombardi and a lot of Bear Bryant's stuff. And Bear Bryant made this statement. He said, "The will to win is not enough. No one wants to lose. The difference is those that are willing to prepare to win that are successful." You see, most people in life don't really prepare. They just meander along through life with que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And when something comes up out of the ordinary, it overwhelms them. Don't be one of those people. Let God's Word equip you for whatever comes along. You look at me like some of you that you don't think that's possible. There's not one thing in life that you can encounter or will encounter that God's Word hasn't told you how to deal with it. Not one thing. And if we'll go by God's recipe, if we'll execute from His playbook, we will be successful. So we have to prepare to be successful. We have to prepare to win. That's why the devil tries so hard to keep all of us, including me, from a steady time of digesting God's Word. You see, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God builds in you your faith. It builds in you knowledge of how to handle things. It builds in you, by help of the Holy Spirit, the ability to discern spirits, to be able to discern trouble, to be able to discern a need. And it's important, it's imperative that we get into God's Word. Now I want to challenge you in the first week, that's next week, in the first week of the year to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. All three of those chapters are what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Most people equate the Sermon on the Mount to just the Beatitudes, which is at the beginning of chapter 5. But Jesus had sat down there on the mountain to talk to his disciples, and 5, 6, and 7 is one continuous teaching of the Lord to his disciples. Are you a disciple of Christ? Then this teaching is for you. It's for me. It's for whoever calls him Lord. It's for whoever has received him as their Savior. And tonight the Lord hasn't given me a message to preach per se, but more or less I'm going to read chapter 6 and 7. Glenda's tried to get me hooked on phonics so that my reading would be better, but it is what it is. Chapter 6. Now, over in chapter 5, I've already said the Beatitudes. He talks to you about salt and light. He talks about how he'd come to fulfill the law. He addresses murder. He addresses adultery. He addresses marriage being sacred. He shows that Jesus talks to us about our oaths or our vows or our word. He talks to us about going the extra mile. He talks to us about loving our enemies. All of that's in chapter 5. And we want to pick up in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men." I guess this is income tax times where I felt like starting there. But "take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they're heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like unto them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you pass, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of your body is the eye. Excuse me. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If, therefore, the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Looking at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. More valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you if you have little faith? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove that speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do unto you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter in at the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their works you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I want to focus tonight on two parts of this scripture that we've read, although it's all pertinent and it all applies to our lives. And if we will put all of the things that the Lord talked about in chapters 5, 6, and 7, if we will put them into practice in our lives, you will be positioned for success. You will be a success in God's eyes. You will be a success in your neighbor's eyes. You will be a success in this world. Because as you seek the Lord, that's what he said to do. First, seek the Lord and his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, a kingdom has a king. Our king is Jesus. He's the head. He's the chief cornerstone of the Christian faith. And we need to get our marching orders from him. We need to be seeking him. Because when we seek, we find. The scriptures just told us that. We don't spend enough time seeking the Lord in the pages of his word. Nor do we spend enough time seeking him in our prayer closet. Nor do we spend enough time seeking him as we drive down the road to deliver a load of hay, meditating on the things and the words and the ways of God so that he can speak to us. You see, seeking first the kingdom is not just seeking salvation. Salvation puts you into the kingdom of God, but his kingdom principles pertain to the body of Christ, not just the kingdom of heaven. It applies to that, but it's more than that. It's kingdom principles here on this earth. It's the principles of going about like Jesus did, doing good. You see, there's a difference in going about speaking good and going about doing good. That's why he tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if we're doing the word, we're doing good things. If we're doing the word, we're touching and impacting people's lives. If we're doing the word, we're walking in victory. If we're doing the word, we're kicking the devil's teeth. If we're doing the word, we're overcoming. Because the word, God watches over his word to perform it. It will not fail you. It will not fail those whom you're trying to help. The key is this. First, having a working knowledge of God's word, understanding his word, being full of his spirit, listening to God and knowing what to do when. You see, the timing of God is as equally important as the will of God. Took me a long time to learn that. For everything, there's a time and there's a season. There's a time for everything. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. There's a time to speak. There's a time to be quiet. There's a time to lay hands on people and pray for them, and there's a time not to. There's a time to laugh and a time to cry. The timing of God is never early and it's never late. He's an on-time God every time without fail. The key is you learning to hear his voice, being sensitive to know when is the right time. I prayed for a dear friend of mine, and I can call his name. He won't care. His name is Kenny Shepherd. Worked with him on the fire department for many, many years. And if I've ever known anybody that's life was hell, it was Kenny's. And I hesitate to get off into everything about his life, but just to give you an example of some of them. A little 2-year-old girl, we were on duty, and he got a phone call. His little girl at 2 years old had fell and hit the corner of the coffee table and knocked her eye out. Has a glass eye to this day. Had a son killed in an automobile accident. He was out on the lake tubing. Everybody in the boat was, you said it, slung him into some cypress trees, broke his hips, legs, messed him all up. He himself had a terrible automobile accident. And I love Kenny, still do. Prayed for him for 25 years. Talked to him off and on about the Lord. I would try to be sensitive as to how much to say and when to say it and when not to say it. Well, after 25 years, he came in the fire station one day and he was just glowing. You guessed it. He'd given his life to Jesus Christ. You see, his wife had been to church and she'd given her heart to the Lord, and she came home telling him about it. John Davis knows this story, and he'll verify that I'm telling the truth. When she told him that she'd gotten saved and she just was so clean and felt so good and everything, made Kenny mad. He went and got him a 12-pack of beer, got in his truck, and headed down to another fireman's house, was going to drink beer and watch a football game. And in that truck, in anger, he said, "God, why can't I ever hear you and experience you like other people do?" And he said, "Dennis, I heard a voice in my truck." And he said, "Because you've not accepted the work of my son, Jesus, on the cross." And he began to weep so hard that he couldn't drive, and he pulled his truck over on the side of the road and he surrendered his life to Christ, and God radically and drastically changed the direction that he was in and changed his life. He's now retired from the fire department. He's an ordained minister. He goes down into South America and all places on missionary trips and doing an incredible work for God. You see, God takes our test and gives us testimonies. God takes us through things. He doesn't let us stay there if we'll reach out to him. But there's a time. There's a timing. And we've all got to learn to be sensitive as to when to speak and to when to be quiet. When we've said enough and when we've said too much. And that's about where I'm at. I need to move on. So seek first. There's this king in this kingdom. Then it says his righteousness. That speaks of virtue and morality. His morality and his virtue. You see, God wants us to live different than those in the world. He wants us to live in such a way that when people look at our lives, they go, "Man, you're different. What do you have that I don't have? I see you face the same issues and problems and trials that I have. I see your washing machine break down or your car break down just like mine does, and you act totally different than I do. I see you struggle economically like I do, and you act differently than I do." Are you acting different than your neighbor? Are you letting them see the hope that you have in you in Christ? Are they seeing in you, in the middle of your turmoil and in the middle of your tragedies, in the middle of your losses, are they seeing in you the peace of God that surpasses understanding? Are they seeing you confident in the God that you serve, that he will not fail you, that somehow he's going to bring you out from where you're at? He's going to bring you through onto the other side with a testimony of praise upon your lips. Are they seeing that? You see, that's what he wants those of us that are in the kingdom of God, with the kingdom principles and the virtues and the moralities and the spirit of Christ that lives in us. He wants us living differently. He's created us to be overcomers, not overcome. He's created us to be the victors and not the victims. He's created us to be the head and not the tail. He's created us. in His image. He's breathed His breath of life into us through salvation of the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. He's filled us with His Spirit to empower us to walk this thing out. He's given us His Word to put bullets in our spiritual gun to shoot down the enemy and that the devil would send our way. These are things that we have to do, but we see we've become complacent in America. We've become so spoiled and so sissified. We fail to remember that we've been called to be soldiers in the army of God. Soldiers fight. Soldiers take territory. Soldiers go forth. Soldiers overcome. Soldiers adapt and overcome. They do what needs to be done. Oh, that the body of Christ would rise up. Put on the whole armor of God, be endued with the Spirit of God, equipped with the Word of God, and go forth with the mission of God so that we could see the kingdom expand and people's lives drastically changed. My New Year's resolution is to become more like Christ. And it don't just happen. You have to seek Him to find Him. You have to knock so that things will be opened unto you. You have to study to show yourself a watchman that needeth not rebuke. You have to crucify the flesh in which you live. You have to, those fleshly tendencies, those that wrong thinking, those wrong actions that you know are wrong. Quit justifying it. Quit excusing it. Quit making it okay. And cry out to God and ask me, God, help me. I need help. And then you do what you can do and trust Him to do what you can't do. But quit trusting Him to do everything that you can do because He's waiting for you to do your part. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says that faith without works is dead. It's great to have faith and we've got to have it. But God expects us to do some things on our own. He expects us to discipline ourselves. He expects us to be like the wise man in that story, that when the storms come and beat upon our house, that it stands because it's founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. It's a firm foundation. We haven't built it on sand so that we collapse and implode every time something comes up. Now I know this is not a tickle the ear, make me feel good message, but this is what God has put in my heart for us this year, for us to be disciples that learn and do. Did you know that having all of the knowledge of it from cover to cover in this thing is useless unless you live it and do it and apply it and use it. And it's time that we take God at His Word. We step out in faith on His Word and that we do some things as He tells us to do them. Now don't just flippantly act stupid. You can't just go buy a car and have a $700 house note and you ain't making, but I mean, a car note and you're not making but $1,000 a month. That's stupid. Yeah. Well, I'm believing God. No, you ain't. You're stupid. You get my point. I'll be quiet with that one. Let's have a great new year. And let's be resolved to eat the bread of life. Let's be resolved to implement the things that He teaches us in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew so that we know how He expects us to live. He addresses every situation in those three chapters, that if you'll live by those, you'll be pleasing to God and there'll be peace in your life. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. it is quick and it is powerful. And it cuts. And Lord, when you prune us, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's not easy to take. But God, we ask that we be changed to look like you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to learn your ways and to hear your voice and to be obedient so that we can be useful for you and the kingdom. With every head bowed, if you're in this place tonight and you say, Dennis, I don't know this Jesus you're talking about as my personal Lord and Savior, or maybe you're a prodigal son that once walked with him and you're living out in the pig pen now and you need to come back to Jesus and make a fresh start. Get some sins forgiven and get back in the place you need to be. Or you need to be saved for the first time. If you're here, just quickly, would you just slip up your hand? Anybody, anywhere, just raise it up, slip it up, slip it right back down. I'll see it. More importantly, God will. Anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. This is your moment. This is your time. What better way to start off a new year than making things right with God? Anyone. Real quickly, I'll ask one more time, then I'm going to close. Anyone. Okay. Would you all just stand with me for just a moment? I know that this is a little different and a little unusual, but would you just reach over and take the hand of the person that's seated next to you and go ahead and reach across the aisles. That'll be fine. And I'm going to pray, but as I pray, I want you to begin to pray for the person on your right and on your left. You can take just a second to ask them if there's anything specific that they want you to pray about. And if there is, I want you to pray for one another. This is scriptural. And I want you to come into agreement and begin to pray with them as I lead us in prayer. We're going to believe God to meet that need, that testimonies will come back. That's the way we're going to begin this new year. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can come before your throne and we have audience with you, that we can speak to you. Lord, I'm certain there are many needs in this place tonight, from health issues and financial issues, relationship issues, loneliness, loss of loved ones, big decisions to make, needing wisdom and direction. Lord, we ask you to speak, to touch, to move, to heal, to intercede, to make a difference. God, we don't want to be religious. We want to be real. And we want to be healthy. And we want to be strong in you. And we want to have our needs met financially and relationally and emotionally, so that we can be healthy, spirit, soul, and body, to bring glory to the kingdom of God. Now, Lord, I come against the devil. I take authority and dominion over every spirit that's not of you, that's tormenting the lives of the men and women in this place, because he's the tormentor. He's the accuser of the brethren. And we come and take dominion and authority over the devil. In Jesus' name. That spirit of hate that you've been carrying, let it go. And the way you need to let it go tonight, right now, is to forgive the one that you've been holding this against. Forgive them. Doesn't mean you won't ever think about it again. Doesn't mean you weren't done wrong. Doesn't mean you didn't have reason to be mad. But you're never more like Christ than when you forgive, and you're never more unlike Christ than when you refuse to forgive. Forgive them now. Release it. Choose to not hold it against them anymore. Just as He has done us with our sins and our shortcomings and our failures. And for that broken heart, that emptiness, that loss of a loved one, sweet Jesus, come and heal. Let them know that they're not alone in that house, that you're with them. Be the companion that they need and the strength. Comfort and heal. One touch from the Master's hand. Time heals nothing. Only you heal, Lord. So heal in the name of Jesus. Looking around, just continue to hold the hand of the person next to you. Continue to pray. Man. You're dying of a broken heart. Quickly. Only those of you dying of a broken heart, look up here at me real quick. Look up, look back down. Yes, 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 yes. Lord, your word says you've come to heal the brokenhearted. I'm facing bankruptcy. Not just that I'm in financial trouble, but you're facing bankruptcy. Look up here at me real quick. Yes. Anyone else? Yes. Bow your heads. These three that looked at me tonight for bankruptcy. I pray, Lord, that you would give them a plan as to how they can work their way out of it with your help and your direction. I pray that, Lord, you will supernaturally have a divine intervention. Make a way where there seems to be no way. That all this year will proclaim your goodness. Quietly. You're in this house and you're carrying a secret sin that is haunting you and making your life miserable. Look up here at me real quick. No one will see you. Anyone? Yes. Anyone else? Quickly. Yes. You're ready to let it go. With God's help, you're ready to give it to Him so that you don't have to carry it anymore. That secret sin that no one knows about. Will you join these that have already done so? Would you look at me real quick? Just look up here at me. Yes, I see you. I'm going to pray, but what you need to do is you need to ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin. And you need to ask Him to give you the power to walk away. To walk away. It's going to involve turning off a computer. And it's going to involve not returning that phone call. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as these that have looked at me for that secret sin, Lord, as they ask you to forgive them, I pray, God, that you will empower them to walk away, to be free from that thing. One more thing the Lord's showing me, no one looking up. Your marriage is in trouble. Would you look up here at me? Yes, yes. Others, quickly, just look up at me. Look back down. Your marriage is in trouble, and you want it saved. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you. God is in the restoring and healing business. But you need to swallow your pride. You need to look at your spouse and say, it's not, doesn't matter who's right, who's wrong. What matters is that we work this out. That this marriage is saved. And with God's help, it can be. It can be better than it's ever been. Lord, we know that the devil wants to come to destroy homes, marriages, lives. Several have looked at me tonight, Lord, that desperately want their marriages saved. So we ask you that as they reach out to you, as they're willing to swallow their pride and crucify their own flesh and recognize the fact that we've both contributed to being where we are, that God, that you will help them in sincerity, in honesty, to forgive and to be forgiven so they can walk this out the way you've intended their marriage to be. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, go with us as we leave this place. Get us home safely, Lord. We know there are a lot of idiots out there on the road driving tonight. get us home safely, Lord. And help 2016 to be the best year in our lives as we seek you and find you and hear you and obey you, that we will be more productive for the kingdom of God than we ever have been. We ask this in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus.